When a business recognizes they have a marketing need that they don't have the skills or capacity for in-house, and it doesn't warrant making a permanent hire, they often default to finding a marketing agency to do the work for them. But agencies are expensive, and certainly in my experience, a lot of them are a bit shit. Turns out I'm not alone in that belief. In fact, a lot of people even running agencies believe that too, including Sabrina Shevins, founder of Complex Creative, the no bullshit agency. And in this episode, Sabrina and I chat through some of the flaws of the agency model, how to sniff out bullshit, and what you should be looking to do to make sure a relationship with an agency or a freelancer is a success. You're listening to Marketing Freed, the podcast that brings you expert insights from freelance marketeers and encourages more businesses to work with independent marketing specialists rather than just defaulting to expensive marketing agencies. I'm your host, David Richter, and if you're looking to become a more effective marketing leader and discover innovative ways to smash your marketing goals and grow your business, you're in the right place. Sabrina, welcome to the show. How's it going?
Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's great. Thank you.
Normally at this point, I'd say your name and then I'd say, and this is what you do. You do a lot. I mean, we could fill up an episode me just listing stuff that you do. So do you want to just give a bit of a potted history to who you are and some of the stuff that you are involved in?
I started as a freelancer back in 2008, so mainly kind of focusing on design and marketing. And then I sort of started, you know, I got a few clients in terms of freelance clients, did quite well with that, and then started building websites too, mainly focused on WordPress because it was obviously popular back then. I think my dev skills weren't the best, so I was good at some front-end development, and that was fine, so that was good enough to sort of do WordPress as opposed to full-on custom builds. And then in 2013, I decided that actually I've got tons of clients, too many that I could handle, so why don't I start an agency? Because that's the sort of normal sort of path that everyone seems to do. And I did that, and it's been a long old bumpy ride since then. Lots of highs and loads of lows, and you know, lots of regrets every day. Why did I start an agency? It could have been so much easier doing something else. But then obviously loads of moments where I'm like, I love running an agency. So it is a very big roller coaster. So that's kind of the main thing I've been doing for the last 10-15 years. And then I also now have just launched a members club for entrepreneurs. So that's kind of my main thing, where entrepreneurs get together and they want to grow their business, but they also want to grow themselves personally as well. And so we do a lot of mindset work. We help each other grow our businesses. And yeah, it's a nice place to be.
And the name of that entrepreneurs club is?
It's NOBS.
Which stands for?
Stands for no bullshit. So everything's now coming under that. So NOBS is essentially going to be the umbrella for everything I do. So no bullshit. It sums up me and my life and how I like to do business. Just no bullshit. So the agency is now running underneath that. So it's the no bullshit agency under that. Then the podcast, no bullshit talks, sniffing out the bullshit. Like, it's all kind of under this no bullshit brand, which is kind of nice to bring it all together.
There's definitely a theme that you can see, definitely.
Yeah.
So when we had our initial chat, I was a little bit nervous as to how this might pan out, because I reached out with the idea of, look, I think a lot of businesses make a mistake by defaulting to working with marketing agencies when they've got a need. But for everything that you were saying on your profile, everything that you were saying under the Complex Creative, it felt like there might be a good fit. And I think we sort of put our heads together and thought, actually, do you know what? There is something there. And I think you share a lot of the same belief of there are a lot of agencies out there that are frankly rubbish. And it'd be good, I mean, if you could just talk a bit about what that is and maybe why you think that whether there's any fundamental flaws with the agency model that cause that to be the case. Because I'd like to believe that most people fundamentally are good. But in a lot of instances, certainly my experience, the agency model's not working for the client.
Yeah, I mean, it's also changed a lot over the last few years, right? Actually, it's changed multiple times over the last few years. So my timeline was that 2008, I was a freelancer, didn't really know, and I didn't come from agency world. I just started freelancing. So in 2013, I've obviously been doing it for 5 years and started the agency, but we called ourselves like London Creative Designs. That was our name. It was like so on the nose, the most SEO optimized brand name there was. And don't get me wrong, we got a lot of business through the website because of that reason, but it didn't really differentiate us. And it was sort of like we were trying to be something to everyone, right? And that just wasn't going to be good for anyone. And so when we were deciding to go through this rebrand back in 2019, we were like, what do we call ourselves? And pretty much everyone just who started working with us came to us because they'd been ripped off by another agency. Like, all these clients just kept on one after another, just like, I've just been let down by our agency, this is what's happened. And I'm like, okay, so here's how it is. And they go, oh, I really like, you're just no bullshit, aren't you? And I basically heard that about like 10 times in the space of a month, that I was like, I think we should just call ourselves a no bullshit agency, like as a joke. And our team were just sort of like, huh, kind of like that actually. And so, you know, I think at the time then we were like, okay, that's a great tagline, but we can't call on our actual company there because we just thought it would be too garish, it wouldn't work. So we had this idea of complex creative because we thought actually we're doing things creatively and it's a complex task, but we tried to make it simple, and it was kind of the juxtaposition of that. But we then obviously now we're like, screw it, we can call ourselves No Bullshit, and that's what the whole point of the club is now. We're just going straight for it and being as bold as possible. But I think it takes time for you to kind of build up that confidence in your brand and your abilities. But that's why we came with the No Bullshit Agency, because we think there is so much bullshit out there. Like, I would say that so many marketing agencies, creative agencies, all that sort of stuff, it's just, there is just so much of it. And I think clients are getting more and more confused, especially with everything that's happening now with the rise of AI. It's like half these, there's new agencies popping up every day I've seen who are just offering AI content as their kind of offering, and they're not even hiding it. But it's just, I don't understand how this is value at all. Like, they're giving literally nothing. They're basically data inputters into ChatGPT and then giving you the content. Like, it just, and they're not even like doing good prompts. It's such poor quality. So I think that, like, even when we became the No Bullshit Agency, it's because there was so much bullshit and there was so much, like, so much scamming and faking it till you make it, all that kind of stuff. But I think it's actually getting worse now thanks to AI, which is terrifying, to be honest.
Yeah, it's lowered the bar to providing a rubbish service, I think.
Yeah.
It's made it easier.
It has. And I think that the problem is the clients who are looking for marketing agencies is because they don't have a marketing background. So they're not going to know anything different, right? They're not going to understand that actually this is poor marketing. Mm. And, you know, I've had so many infuriating conversations with clients. Like, we had one the other day and there was a brand that really wanted to work with me personally, almost as an ambassador. And I was like, I'm not putting my name on this brand if you're not going to do things properly. And I was like, oh, tell me the demographics of the people. He was like, I don't know. And I was like, where's your data? I don't know. And I'm like, so where's the marketing agency providing this data? Oh, they've got it. I was like, can I have it? Oh, they don't have it. And I'm like, what is going on? How do you actually run a business like this? Like, how do you know your marketing's effective? Oh, because we're getting some likes on Instagram. I'm like, what? Like, it's honestly so bizarre. And it's just, when you see people, what people want, they don't actually understand. And like, because there's so much media attention around like vanity metrics or people blowing up on social media, people think that's what marketing is. Or it's like, they'll go get a press release in some fancy magazine and they'll be like, oh my God, I was featured in X. And they think that that's it. Then they're just going to get famous, and they don't understand it. And like, we've had clients who are like this, who again have been told things, and we design them a website. And someone said to me the other day, she literally messaged me going, I think the website's broken because I'm not getting any sales. I was like, what marketing have you done to it? She was like, well, it's just online, isn't it? So people should come to it. And this is what people think. And so the problem is the clients don't have a marketing background, and that's not their fault. They're specialists in whatever they do, right? So they're not expected to know marketing. And while it might be obvious to us because that's what we do, it's actually really not obvious to a lot of people out there. And it's like, bad copy is so obvious to us. It's like, oh, it's clearly written by ChatGPT. It's not clear to most people. Like, even terribly written copy, like, is not obvious to a lot of people. Like, so the problem is, it's the blind leading the blind, and these people can get away with it because they're leading people who have zero clue in terms of quality. And so they're just charging all this money. And the problem is, marketing agencies can then just say, oh, I've got a retainer of like 10 grand a month, and it's a 3-month minimum, because obviously you need at least 3 months to see whether our results are worth it. They're like, boom, 30k. So what if they've decided that they're rubbish and they realize they've got 30k and they move on and they just do that to the next person? And that's what they do. And you see that these marketing agencies have got such a high churn of clients, and it looks like, oh my God, we're winning this person. If you look at all these agencies that we're putting on LinkedIn and social media, we just won this client. I'm thinking, your team is like 12 people. How are you winning another client every single week? You must be losing clients very fast, because there's no way you can actually do that. But from the outside, everyone's thinking, oh my God, they're winning all these clients, they're incredible. No, they're getting fired over and over again. That's what's really happening. And you've just got to realize what the truth is. But because of the way that they're spinning things, people believe it. And then when they think, they'll be like, oh, but they're winning all these clients, they're working with all these people, they must be good at what they do, let's give them another chance. And it's just this is why the problem is happening.
Yeah, I've seen it as well. So you were talking about a lot of clients won't necessarily have a marketing background, and it's kind of, in those instances, it's not their fault, and it's easy for them to be led astray or bullshitted by sort of nefarious actors. I've also seen it from the other side, where marketing teams who really should know better are employing agencies almost as a sort of abdication of their own responsibility, because fine, they don't really want to be doing the work, and they don't want to be managing people to be doing the work either. And if it all goes wrong, I think they also like the safety net of going, wasn't us, we hired this big fancy expensive agency, so don't blame me.
Well, I've also even seen it even in a worse light, right? So that is exactly it with the marketing teams. I realised this when I was doing a pitch and the marketing person who was in charge of picking the agency said to me, I'm really sorry that we can't pick you because you're just too good. And I was like, what? And so I was like, what does that mean? He goes, well, you're going to make me lose my job. Because if you're able to do all of this sort of stuff for them, then I won't have a role. Oh, wow. And it was like, no, I just can't pick you. And I was like, wait, what? So they said that we weren't suitable, so we didn't get the role. Then I started realizing this when I speak to a lot of people. And I started to ask the marketing in-house people. They said, yeah, I won't always pick the best agency because they'll outshine me and then I'll look bad. Whereas if I pick an agency and they're sort of like mediocre, they keep screwing up some stuff, I can come in and rescue it. And then I look good and then I might get a raise, and then because they're paying the agency that much money, I can get more money and negotiate that because actually I'm able to do a better job. So they sometimes pick agencies who are bad on purpose to make themselves look better. So it's so twisted.
That is bizarre.
I know.
What a weird situation.
I know. So it's really made me open up my eyes to the bullshit that's out there. I'm like, what is going on? This is absolutely twisted.
And we sort of started off this train of the conversation talking about, well, there's a lot of business owners who don't necessarily have a background in marketing, and it is easy for them to be led astray by the bullshit. Have you got any tips on what they can do to sniff that out so they don't fall victim to poor agencies?
Yeah, so there's a lot. I mean, I had a conversation with someone literally 2 days ago and I was horrified at what they've been told. And I was trying to warn them in a nice way. And oh my God, there's so many things. So this one just rang alarm bells to me. It was a black-owned business and they were trying to find a marketing agency who could understand, like, you know, their culture and trying to run the campaigns, like anti-racism campaigns and stuff like that. So naturally they came to me because I'm a black female who probably would understand this. But I've said that I don't think I'd be able to help them with what their goals wanted. They wanted to be, I'm really quite transparent. They wanted quite a lot. And I was like, our team's not big enough to be able to handle that much workload. They go, well, there was this really big agency. And to be fair, I was really excited. They were expensive, but they promised that they would hire an entire new team just to work on our campaign, and then make sure they'd hire only black people for this team, and they'd work on it straight away, and they'd guarantee us all the results between 3 months. I was like, wait, what? There were so many things there that I was just like ringing alarm bells. So first of all, how are you going to hire all these black creatives so quickly if you've got like none in your team already? Like, where are you finding these people so quickly that you can hiring processes take ages, right? So you're not going to be able to find good people that quickly. I was like, secondly, how do you know they're going to be like able to work together like well on these campaigns and produce results? And so all of that was just alarm bells. I feel like people, agencies who promise the earth, that sounds so good that it can't be true, it's probably not true. I just think no one's going to go through all that hiring problems in order to be able to fill a client. That just doesn't happen. Like, it just doesn't. And then the main word that I hate in marketing is guarantee. Like, anytime you hear anyone guarantee anything, I just think you should run. Like, what in marketing can you guarantee? Like, literally, we can guarantee we put in the hours and put in the work. But there are so many external factors that are going to affect your marketing that you cannot guarantee everything. Like, sure, I always say, like, even with results, I'm like, okay, here's our case studies. Here's, you know, what we've done for other people. And this is what's always happened. And these are the sort of results that we see in the past. But we cannot ever guarantee it because you just don't know. And, like, obviously, like, if it's a products business, we also have to rely that the product is good quality. If we're, like, getting loads of people to buy it and then loads of people return it because it's poor quality, or, like, you know, say if the website's not performing well or something like that, lots of different aspects of marketing. I think anyone that guarantees stuff, especially like people saying PR as well, they say, oh, a guarantee I'll get you like a TV performance, a radio performance each month. I was like, there are, again, so many factors when it comes to PR. Like, it's got to be the timing, but those channels have got all these different things going on. You can never guarantee placements at a certain time. I think, like, you can obviously say over this period of time, this is what we should get and this is what we aim, and we always do hit it, but I will never say the word guarantee. And I think that anyone who says that, it's that trick to just pull you in and make you think the best things and be like, oh no, we should get that because it's a guaranteed thing. But what they're going to do is let you down. They're going to make all these excuses, and then you're not going to be able to get your money back because it's never enough money that you bother making the effort for anyway. And it's like they'll say all these things and there's nothing you can really do, and by that point they've taken your money.
I think the way to challenge that as the client is, if someone's guaranteeing anything, even if you're just doing it for a bit of sport just to see what their reaction is, ask them to do it on a pay per performance basis and they'll run for the hills, right?
I agree, and I think that's exactly it. Like, a lot lot of these people, I've had it as well, even when I'm trying to like interview and ask for like, you know, their portfolios or examples of work, and they don't reply. And then the other thing is actual real references. So not just like asking, oh, you know, said, oh, what client work have you done? Because a lot of people go, I would like to see specific work in this sector, or where's we've got certain performance of XYZ, or where you've grown this done, I've done this campaign and got this ROI. People will send you case studies, people will send you different stuff, but you want to also get references from those clients. You want to actually hear from the client's mouths what it was like working with. Because sure, they may have got those results, but it may have been the worst relationship ever and they were a nightmare to deal with. Or like, actually they got those results, but the results could have been 10x that with the budget that they spent. They could have been like, you know, actually we got like 3.4 ROI, but they're spending like £1 million a month. Like, you know, you should be getting a lot more than that with your budget of what you probably should be getting, maybe. Like, I don't know. And depending on what kind of type of marketing you're doing and what kind of sector, like that might be really low for that particular sector. Like, so you just don't know. And I think like numbers need to have context to it. So I think like you really need to speak to them. A lot of the time the numbers are fudged. So that's the other thing as well. So you need to see the backup on that. Like definitely the relationship and just whether it's even true that even works with that brand. Because again, people just take that sort of numbers and say they grew it from XYZ and that's it.
And they'll only ever tell you about the weddings, never the funerals.
Exactly.
So I think some of the responsibility for all of this does have to sit on the client though, because if they're going into this relationship, any relationship, not knowing enough so that they're misled easily, it kind of is on them. And whether they're seeking that expertise externally just to sense check things or just educating themselves about the sorts of things that they should be attuned to, ultimately that's on them. One of the ways that I have managed third parties when I was working client side was just to be very, very clear from the outset on the metrics that we were going to hold them accountable to. And particularly when it came to, say, digital marketing, every single agency that we employed in one of the companies that I worked for, every single one of them, it was almost like you could play bingo with them, would come up with these ideas or these, you know, oh, it is amazing because, hey, there's an opportunity here where we could get you 20,000 visits per month for only 17p per click. And you look at what they're proposing, it's no. There's a reason we're not going after this. Yes, we can get the traffic. Yes, we can get the eyeballs, but we're not a magazine. We don't care about the attention. We want the right people. And here's the list. I know it's going to be hard for you, but that's why we're employing you. Here's the list of keywords that we want you to go after. And the reason we're going outside of this organization is because we lack the skills to do that ourselves. You're the experts. You go for it. And I don't know if you've got any other tips for how, as a client, you can make sure that when you're engaging with a third party, that relationship is sort of just off to the best possible start from the outset.
I think it's asking a lot of questions. I think a lot of the pitch process are not robust enough. I think that in reality, a lot of agency pitches go to people they know. So like someone picks someone that they knew from another time or whatever, they worked on another project together. So they just kind of go with them regardless of what the work situation is. And often as well, I think that people, what I think there's a lot of dangers in, again, is small businesses get excited that a large agency want to work with them. And they go, oh, but this agency works with this big brand. And it's amazing that they want to work with us. I was like, yeah, but what you're going to realise is that in the pitch, they're going to have their best people coming to pitch to you, and they're going to have their interns working on your work because you are a tiny, small fry compared to these people. They're like, oh, but they worked on like a Nike proposal and a Coca-Cola campaign. I'm like, do you think that your tiny little budget is going to compare to those? Do you think they're going to have their best people on yours while they're working on Nike and Coca-Cola? No. And the problem is that is what's happening, and you think that you're going to have the best people and you're working with this best agency, but you're not. You're having literally interns and like the juniors. And so you're paying the price of a big, it's like, I don't know, you're paying the price of like a Louis Vuitton bag and you're getting a fake. That's what I feel like you're getting. It's like when you're going to these big agencies, like you are not getting that designer shiny item of the agency you're getting the worst people. So you're actually better off going to a smaller agency, because actually you can usually then work directly with the creative director. Like for example, I work directly on all my client stuff and I've been doing this over 15 years. So like, wouldn't you rather have someone like myself working on your projects than someone who's just literally started? And I think that's one of the things that people don't realise, but the onus is definitely on them. It's the same as when people talk about scams and people are like, oh, this person scammed me, and like, you know, or like there's the scams online all the time, and people are like, it's not fair, they fooled me. And I'm like, but again, it's your due diligence. Like, you should be checking these things. Like, I don't understand how anyone falls for a phishing scam still these days, but they do, right? These silly emails come through and I'm like, and we get it. So there's still one that goes on, right, with agencies for sure. Every single time someone new comes to the company and I add them on LinkedIn, they get a spam email from me. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it literally is from my name and it's like, oh, hi, can you give me your WhatsApp number? I've got some tasks for you. And it's so weak.
Yeah. Can you go and buy a bunch of vouchers and then send them to this email address? Yeah.
I've never gone that far to actually text them to find out what it is. But yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's usually Google Play vouchers or something. Usually it's something they can take. Exactly. So I've had people who have written back to them by email and stuff like that. And I'm like, just click the email. And it really puts me off. And I'm just like, wait, how do I interview for that? Like, because I mean, like, I regret hiring you if you've fallen for these scams. But again, it's that sort of stuff. It's like educating yourself. So I think when it comes to marketing agencies, there's several things that you should do. I think, first of all, check how long they've been doing it. So whether the agency might be new, but check like who's running the agency and their experience. So for example, like if I set up a new agency tomorrow, like I might be one day old when I go out, but I've got 15 years of marketing experience behind me. So I'm probably going to know roughly what I'm doing. So, but check them out and then check out the type of clients they work with. Like, are they all giant clients? Are they all small clients? Is there a mixture? Because again, if you're a small business and they only work with giant clients, they're probably going to treat you like crap because you're just you're a small business. I'd say that look up also the people who are going to be actually working with you. Ask to speak to the actual people who are going to be working on your campaigns because they always promise that they're going to have their A players and they don't. They either come in the pitch with the A players and then the actual people are the juniors and the A players won't have anything to do with it. So I would also say, I want in the pitch the actual people who are going to do the campaign. If it's someone different, when we do the actual work, the contract is null and void. And I would actually say that as a requirement for the actual pitch process.
That's such an interesting approach. I know that that happens as a practice. I've seen it happen. I definitely know that that happens all of the time, that maybe even the founders or the C-suite will come along and do a really whizzy pitch and build great relationships. But actually, it's the drones behind them that end up doing the work. And it's kind of mediocre and their time is money. So actually, everyone's rounding up to the nearest hour for their time spent.
Exactly. And that's not what you want. You're sitting there going, oh my God, I want to buy this Ferrari. And then you go get like a Toyota Prius at the end of it. Like, and it's just like, no offense on Priuses, but do you know what I mean? Like, you've been presented one thing and then you like, you know, and it's just like, you really need to do all these sort of things to protect yourself. And I think like being so transparent on all the costs that are involved, because there's always hidden costs for some reason. And you have to bring this up right from the get go. I'd say keep lots of things in writing because people always go, oh, we should talk about this face-to-face, we'll talk about this in person. But then I would say, okay, that's fine, great, if you want to talk about this in person, can I record this meeting for notes and like use this? Because I feel like, again, people say things in person and then that's when all the disputes go, oh, I said that in person, you don't remember or something, and then that's when a lot of these things happen. Again, like before you pick them, I'd say check their actual qualifications, because people will say, oh, I'm Google certified, whatever, like I'm partners with Google Ads and whatever, and what they'll just say that, like, where do you look that up? Like, you could put that badge on your website. No one from Google is going to be checking and actually just, you know.
Even if you've got it, it's kind of meaningless anyway. There's ways to cheat that.
Right. So the requirements are so minimal for what you actually need to do to get it. So I was like, so you can have all the certifications in the world, but you still have absolutely no knowledge of stuff. So when you're asking questions for your agency, I don't think it should be the same perfunctory questions. Like, what would you do to grow our thing? What would you do to blah, blah, blah? I would ask specific results and it'd be like, right, okay, so you said you did this for this client, like in terms of, like, say you said you managed to get 8.5% of my times ROI on this client. What budget did they use? It was like, what is the actual average ROI for clients in that industry? It's like, so what could you have done better? What went well? What didn't go well? Where could you improve? What should be the ROI that you should be getting? Like, but, and all that sort of stuff, really specific questions that actually test if they've got knowledge in performance. And the same as like social media, right? So a lot of people do social media, and again, like, I've seen so much as like, oh, we're a social media agency. All they do is put stuff into ChatGPT for the captions, and they use stock photos for the things, or they create some reels and put trending audio on it. And it's like, what is that? Like, that is literally the job of any VA that you could get overseas who could just do that sort of thing, and they call that social media management. Fine. Some brands, that's all they need at the moment. But if you're actually looking for performance, that is not what you need. You need a strategy. And anyone who starts before they've even made a strategy, again, is absolutely ridiculous. So one of our things that we do is that we spend the first, we tell the clients the first month is all about strategy. And we actually need to devise a strategy and KPIs and the plan before we even start any of the work. And a lot of clients actually complain. And they say that actually that's a waste of money. And they want you to just start straight away. And I realise that then they're not the right clients. And that's why they get fooled, because they think that you just want to dive in. But actually, the strategy is what's going to save you loads of money down the line. But they just don't realise that. And so we have to try and show them. And they go, oh, they think it's just a way of us getting, you know, a couple of extra grand out of them or something like that. And they don't see it. So again, I think clients need to be educated. But the problem is, I actually do think the majority, and I feel like that is actually accurate, saying the majority of agencies out there are bad. And that's the problem. There are so many, and they're getting more and more now, because there's such a low barrier of entry into marketing. Like, pretty much everyone's doing it now. They're just watching YouTube videos and they're claiming to be marketing experts and all this whatever. And, you know, you'll see the trends on LinkedIn about being LinkedIn gurus and growing profiles, but they're all just faking it. And there's all this thing out there now with AI and just like buying followers and bots and automation. It's all just fake. And it depends on what clients want, because some clients just love that. Some clients love to say like, oh, we've got X amount of followers on LinkedIn or social media or whatever, and that's what they're interested in. So we speak to clients and go, what are you actually interested in? Are you actually interested in growing your accounts, or are you actually interested in making more money? Because, you know, we only help you make more money and actually do a right business sense. I don't care if your account's necessarily growing with followers. Like, and so it's all about what is actually valuable to those people.
Yeah, and the example you gave of just tracking metrics like the number of followers or number of retweets that are somewhat meaningless, I could see that appealing to that example of the person who said, I might get fired if you do too good a job, because all they care about is showing someone above them, someone in the C-suite, a list of metrics that the C-suite don't really understand, but the line goes up and to the right, and so they're happy.
Yeah. And it's like, they go, one of our posts went viral. They're like, oh my God. Yeah, we literally reached 1.2 million people with that. That's incredible. Oh my God, we're amazing. Blah, blah, blah. How much money did you make? How many sales did you make off that? None. But that's the whole point. It will come in. It will come in. And I think it's that, like, that massive example that was huge last year, the Snoop Dogg ad. Do you remember that?
No.
It was so clever, to be honest. To whoever did the market was clever, but it was, it's so funny. So Snoop Dogg put this post up on his Instagram saying, I'm giving up smoke.
Right.
And so obviously this guy is known for smoking dope. All is like, smoke weed every day, literally. That's his, you know, that's his whole vibe. And so everyone's like, whoa, what's going on, man? He was like, look, give me some time. I need to be by myself. I'm giving up smoke. This is just my time. And everyone was like, it just broke the internet. Everyone's like, oh my God, Snoop Dogg's giving up drugs. What's going on? And then like a month or two later, he comes out with this ad for this brand, and it's like a smokeless fire pit.
Oh, I see.
I'm giving up the smoke. And it was really clever. And it was like, oh, that's what it is. And everyone's like, oh, okay. So he's not actually giving it up, but it's like very clever. Like, it's smokeless fire pit. That ad was everywhere. It blew up the internet. It was great. It was all over the place. It was really cool. The thing is, like, and then I think like about 6 months after that, we hear that the CEO got fired. It's like, what? Because they basically said, oh, that campaign just didn't work. Like, they didn't get any sales. Like, it was terrible. Yeah. And it's
know,
like,
your audience.
Yeah. And it's like, all the people who follow Snoop Dogg weren't going to suddenly go out and buy this fireless pit. That's just not the sort of people they are. And they didn't really understand the brand alliance. It was a very clever campaign. I thought it totally was. But it was just like, no one really cared about that, and it was, you're talking to the wrong people. And it wasn't like, and that's the thing, when you come to influencers, people think, oh, this person's got loads of following, but do they have following other people who are going to buy your stuff? Do they care enough for that sort of thing? It doesn't work like that. And so there's campaigns like that all the time. And I just feel like even the whole like Beckham one with the Uber Eats, I was like, how many more people have gone to Uber Eats since they saw that campaign? Very clever. Everyone was talking about it. But again, like, is that the right thing? How do you actually bring more awareness? I feel like even with stuff like that, like having basic coupons at Uber Eats landing in your inbox is probably going to generate more sales than millions and millions of dollars that you spend on the Beckhams being in a commercial. So I really think that even though it looks clever and looks glamorous and looks effective and successful from the outside, that's not what you should care about. You should only care about the actual results that puts money into your bank account, whatever that looks like. And that could be the most unglamorous option. But when you're talking to your marketing agency, ignore all the shiny stuff that seems really cool. Actually ask them how they're going to make you money, because that's all you should care about.
Yeah. And even if you're not a marketer, if you're a business owner, you should actually understand what it is that makes your business money, right?
Yeah.
And if you explain that to the agency, if you explain it to a freelancer, whoever you're working with, then it's over to them to come up with a strategy that is plausible, at the very least, for how they're actually going to help you achieve that.
You can have zero knowledge of marketing, but you could be like, right, here's what we need to get to. Say if you're like responsible for the business, and or even as a CEO, you should be like, right, we're going to get to like an EBITDA of 18% this year. And it's like, in order to do that, we need to cut our costs here. We need to do this. We need to do this. Like, you'll have some finance people who'd be like, okay, so you need to cut these costs. You need to increase this, and we need to increase our sales by X. So you'd be like, okay, so I've got a sales target I need to get. So you speak to a sales and marketing team, like, this is what we need to get. How do you make that happen? It's up to you. And that's all you need to do. And like, so you just need to trust that they are going to devise a plan that actually hits your goals, and you need those specificity. But I think that, again, a lot of brands go into it just going, we need a marketing agency, but they don't actually know what they need. And they let the marketing agency decide what they need and be like, oh, we can do this, we can do this, we can, like, you know, we can do SEO, and, you know, you'll get some more people to a site, and they'll see the numbers go up every so often. And, like, you know, eventually, oh, we got so many more people reaching your pages and being on your website and all this sort of stuff. But what does that really mean at the end of it if it's not making you money?
Yeah. Complex Creative, you've made the decision you're a full service agency.
Yeah.
Be interesting to understand why you've gone down that route instead of specialising in only one discipline.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a choice for lots of times, and everyone's been asking about that. And I think, like, it's definitely easier to niche down and pick one thing for sure. I actually believe it's because we can help out clients more. Like, I always feel that in order to do your job properly, you need to know other elements of the business, other elements of marketing. So, for example, as a marketer, I think you should actually understand UX as well. Like, if you're trying to do stuff on the website and you're trying to convert, like, if you're doing like COO, you need to understand UX, and you need to understand some elements of UI that would improve the UX, so therefore you can actually do your job better and actually talk to people. And the same with, like, you know, dev, and our devs actually need to understand SEO. My biggest pet peeve is when a client uses an agency to build their website and they remove all the SEO, and it's like 10 years of SEO built up on there, and it just destroys it overnight. And that happens so often, it's ridiculous. And I just believe that everyone should have some knowledge of all areas, and they all intertwine with each other, that it is necessary to actually have that. So you might as well be a full service agency. So we actually, I think, you know, most of the people come to us, they come to us because they want us to design and build a WordPress website. We know that's what we do as our main kind of thing. We design and build a WordPress website, and we're all about sustainable, low carbon web design. And that's what people come to us for mainly. But they love working with us. They go, actually, we obviously need to also do marketing. And in that web design consultation, I'm always asking what their marketing goals are. I'm always like, okay, so what do you actually want to achieve? What are your goals? Because people go, oh, I want to make a website. But why? What are you trying to achieve with your website? Again, that's the thing. Web designers, web developers, just build a website. If you don't understand the marketing goals of it, how are you going to create a website that's going to achieve those marketing goals? So for me, they have to connect, they have to make sense. Otherwise, it's just, you're not going to do a good enough job. So we always have these conversations anyway. So it then became so much more natural to just have it all in one, because people are just like, well, we just want to work with you. So, you know, and I think from accountability perspective, when we've worked with other agencies and they're like, oh, it's the website's agency's fault, it's the marketing agency's fault, and they just blame each other. If we're doing all of it, we can't blame anyone. We can do, it's all up to us. It's all on us to make it work. So we prefer that, because actually then we can just take accountability for absolutely everything.
And I think particularly if you are a client who lacks enough knowledge to be managing all of the disciplines and not be led too far down a particular path that's not right for you.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense, because I've seen it on both sides. Your example of clients doing away with all the SEO value. I've definitely worked with web designers who, they're brilliant designers. They suck at SEO.
Yeah.
And they come up with amazing designs. You go, that's never going to, I mean, it's beautiful, but it's going to ruin our business. I've seen it the other way around, where you speak with an SEO person, they're amazing at their job, but their advice is, get rid of that image, it's taking too long to load, or get rid of that video, or, you know, we can't have an inquiry form here. So, yeah, you bloody can. You definitely need that there, right? Because otherwise, where are we going to get our clients from? So I think full service, particularly if you are lacking the knowledge and expertise in-house, it makes total sense.
Yeah, I think people kind of shy away from it, said niching, because it's much easier. It is easier, but, you know,
yeah.
First of all, like, we don't necessarily want it to be easy. It's fine. Like, and I think, like, what people don't like is a jack of all trades, in terms of they are kind of a bit, you know, average at everything. That's what probably isn't good. So if you go to a freelancer who says I do everything, I'd be a slightly bit worried, because you then you're like, oh, okay, you're not necessarily amazing at one thing. The difference is a full service agency, you have different people who are specialists in what they do. So it's like, sure, you're going to, say if you have a team of like three designers, it's like going to an agency that has a design agency that's three people. Like, it's the same thing anyway. Like, it's so it's like you're having three people specialise in design, three people specialise in dev, three people specialise in marketing. So you've got your specialist anyway, so you've got the best of both worlds, in my opinion.
Yeah. Look, Sabrina, I'm really conscious of time because I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. I'll just let it run and run and run. But I know you're very, very, very busy with all the projects you've got on. Before I let you go, do you want to just talk a bit about Knobs, your latest project, and what you're doing with that?
Yeah, so I guess I created Knobs because I've been trying to find a good community for ages to find amazing entrepreneurs who have that ambitious mindset, who want to grow themselves and their business. And I just never really found it. I never really found that sort of organization. I felt like there were communities out there, but they were just kind of left to their own devices. And so I really wanted to create something. So what I've done is created this members club where it's completely vetted. So everyone who joins is really serious about the business. They're not there to sell to people, which is what I hate about these places. They're there to actually make really meaningful connections and help be there for each other and have quality conversations. And it's about, you know, everyone's got a growth mindset. Everyone wants to work on their business, but also grow professionally. So I just launched it on 1st of February. So it's very new, but we've already had lots of people who want to sign up, which is amazing. And we're all about just complete quality. So instead of, like, for example, we've got a personal branding workshop, but instead of having one of those personal branding gurus, we're having LinkedIn do it at LinkedIn headquarters.
Wow.
So it's like stuff like that. We're trying to do like proper actual, you know, experiences. So when we're doing like email marketing masterclass, we're having MailChimp deliver it at their headquarters and stuff like that. That's what we're trying to do in terms of where the speakers that we're lining up are, like, for example, Ali Abdaal, who's like going to be doing stuff on productivity. Like, people who genuinely are the top of their game, not just like the same average people that we see at all these other events. So we're trying to make sure it's like quality over quantity and that sort of stuff. So yeah, it's something I'm really passionate about. I'm really excited to have these sort of events and build like really intimate professional relationships.
Yeah, great. Well, congratulations on all the success with it. If someone wants to find out a bit more about Knobs, where could they go?
So the website is actually n0bs.com. It's like 0BS.
Zero being the number.
Yeah, zero being the number. Yep. So n0bs. So it looks like Knobs, but it's n0bs.com.
Got it. Yep.
And then anything else that you want to find out about me is always at sabrinachavans.com. It's probably the easiest place. It's got pretty much everything, all the links to Knobs and any of my social media profiles and stuff there too.
You're pretty prolific on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And I'll include links to everything in the show notes. So thank you very much. Before I let you go, Sabrina, I am asking everyone that I speak with for one book recommendation that they think everyone in marketing should read.
I'm going to say, Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss.
Love it.
Because it's a good one on negotiation. I think that's a good one for marketing.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Sabrina. That has been such a fun interview. Really appreciate all your time.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening to Marketing Freed. If you've got value from this episode, please subscribe on your podcast app of choice and join me next time, where we'll be bringing you more insights and strategies from yet another freelance marketing expert. Until then, happy marketing.